Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari. Gopi Jana Vallava. Gopi Jana Vallava Giri Varadhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivarika Charya Stotara Sadasi Simat Abhay Charan Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jaya. Nama Charya Sial Haridas Thakur ki jaya. Prem se kaho si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jaya. Granta Rashi Mad Bhagavatam ki Yainitai Gaura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaja Chakshurum Militan Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitan Yena Bhutale Swayan Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Siyuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Shyam Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakam Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavaneshvare Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, chapter 13, text 9. Chapter entitled The Dynasty of Maharaj Nimi. Yasya Yogam Navanchanti.
Yasya Yogam Navanchanti.
Yasya yogana vanchanti. Viyoga bhayakataraha. Viyoga bhayakataraha. Vajanti charanam bhoyam. Vajanti charanam bhoyam. Munayo hari medasaha. Munayo hari medasaha. Yasya yogam na vanchanti. Viyoga bhayakataraha. Bhajanti charanam bhojam. Munayo hari medasaha. Bolo. Yasya yogana vanchanti. Viyoga bhayakataraha. Bhajanti charanam boyam. Munayo hari medasaha. Yogana vanchanti. Viyoga vayakataraha. Pajanti charanam boyam. Yo hari medasaha. Yasya yogana vanchanti. Viyoga vayakataraha. Bhajanti charanam boyam. Munayo hari medasaha. Vaishnavis. Yasya yogana vanchanti. Viyoga vayakataraha. Bhajanti charanam boyam. Munayo hari medasaha. Yasya yogana vanchanti. Viyoga vayakataraha. Bhajanti charanam boyam. Munayo hari medasaha. Yasya yogana vanchanti. Viyoga bhayakataraha. Bhajanti charanam bhojam. Munayo hari medasaha. Yasya. With the body. Yogam. Contact. Na. Do not. Vanchanti. Gyanis, desire. Viyoga bhayakataraha. Being afraid of giving up the body again. Bhajanti. Offer transcendental loving service. Charana ambhojam. To the lotus feet of the Lord. Munayaha. Great saintly persons. Harimedasaha. Whose intelligence is always absorbed in thoughts of Hari. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purpose by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Maharaj Nimi continued, Mayavadis generally want freedom from accepting a material body because they fear having to give it up again. But the devotees whose intelligence is always filled with the service of the Lord are unafraid. Indeed, they take advantage of the body to render transcendental loving service. Please repeat. Maharaj Nimi continued. Mayavadis generally want freedom from accepting a material body because they fear having to give it up again. But devotees whose intelligence is always filled with the service of the Lord are unafraid. Indeed, they take advantage of the body to render transcendental loving service. Purport. Please listen carefully. It's a nice purport, as usual. Maharaj Nimi did not want to accept a material body, which will be a cause of bondage. Because he was a devotee, he wanted a body by which he could render devotional service to the Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings, Jamma obi more icha yaditora, bhakta grihe yani jamma hau mora, kita jamma hau yata tuya dasa. My Lord, if you want me to take birth and accept a material body again, kindly do me this favor. Allow me to take birth in the home of your servant, your devotee. I do not mind being born there even as an insignificant creature, like an insect. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, Nadhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaje mama jammani jammanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahai tuki twaji. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruitive activities described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is a motivated devotional service to you. Sikshastaka 4. By saying life after life, Jammani, Jammani, the Lord referred not to an ordinary birth, but a birth in which to remember the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a body is desirable. A devotee does not think like yogis and jnanis who want to refuse a material body and become one with the impersonal Brahman effulgence. A devotee does not like this idea. On the contrary, he will accept any body, material or spiritual, for he wants to serve the Lord. This is real liberation. If one has a strong desire to serve the Lord, even if he accepts a material body, there is no cause of anxiety, since a devotee, even in a material body, is a liberated soul. This is confirmed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasagira nikilaswapya vastasu jivam mukta sauchyate. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna, with his body, mind, intelligence, and words, is a liberated person even within the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. The desire to serve the Lord establishes one as liberated in any condition of life, whether in a spiritual body or a material body. So what establishes one in a liberated condition of life? The desire to serve the Lord. In a spiritual body, the devotee becomes a direct associate of the Lord. But even though a devotee may superficially appear to be in a material body, he is always liberated and is engaged in the same duties of service to the Lord as a devotee in Vaikuntha Loka. There is no distinction. It is said, Sadur Jivoma Maruva, Whether a devotee is alive or dead, his only concern is to serve the Lord. Tyatva deham punarjanma naitimam eti. When he gives up his body, he goes directly to become an associate of the Lord and serve him, although he does the same thing even in a material body in the material world. For a devotee, there is no pain, pleasure, or material perfection. One may argue that at the time of death, a devotee also suffers because of giving up his material body. But in this connection, the example may be given that a cat carries a mouse in its mouth, and also carries a kitten in its mouth. Both the mouse and the kitten are carried in the same mouth, but the perception of the mouse is different from that of the kitten. When a devotee gives up his body, tyatva deham, he is ready to go back home, back to Godhead. Thus, his perception is certainly different from that of a person being taken away by Yamaraj for punishment. A person whose intelligence is always concentrated upon the service of the Lord is unafraid of accepting a material body, whereas a non-devotee, having no engagement in the service of the Lord, is very much afraid of accepting a material body or giving up his present one. Therefore, we should follow the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mama Jammani Jammanishvare Bhavatad Bhaktir Ahetoki Twayi. Now, conclusion of this purport. It doesn't matter whether we accept a material body or a spiritual body. Our only ambition should be to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So seeking the blessings of the Vaishnavas, especially my teachers are here sitting, senior Vaishnavas. So the consciousness of a devotee is being described in this verse. And the context is that Maharaj Nimi was going to be given a body by the sages. And in the previous verse, he's saying, well, I don't really... What is it? Say, please do not imprison me again in a material body. But now in this verse, Maharaj Nimi is clarifying the position of a devotee. And a devotee doesn't mind actually taking a material birth. Why is this? Because for a devotee doesn't fear any condition of life, because the focus of a devotee is what? According to the purport. He has only one ambition. And what is that ambition? It's service to Krishna, it's serving to the Lord. So regardless of whatever situation he may find himself in, he is satisfied. And again, this is a very high consciousness. It's not like very easy to attain to this situation. But this is the message of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is aiming at transforming our hearts, changing our hearts from material to spiritual. It says that it's meant to bring a revolution in the impious life of this world's misdirected civilization. So what is that revolution in the heart that needs to take place? The revolution is from self-center, from me being in the center, to a God center. And many, many different stories are given to illustrate the principle that actually the only way by which we can become peaceful, and not just even peaceful, but blissful and ecstatic, is when we act for the pleasure of Krishna. It's a simple message. We heard it so many times, but it just takes so much for us to kind of assimilate it and implement it, because one thing is to hear it, But to live by that principle, that the devotee, in any condition of life, his only concern is how, what is my duty? How can I serve Krishna? How can I please Krishna? And when we actually act on this consciousness, on this platform, we are liberated. There's no need to go back home, back to Godhead for the devotee in that sense. Because his consciousness creates that spiritual atmosphere. So the, and this is the highest goal. There is nothing, there is no higher attainment in life than to develop a relationship with Krishna. Is the priceless, the matchless gift. And why is this? Because actually this is the only thing that is going to satisfy our hearts. And therefore, the whole Bhagavatam is full of these like extreme stories where we can see how the devotees became those who were fixed in the service of the Lord remain unaffected by their situation. And, you know, Kali Yuga particularly is designed in such a way, material nature for that matter, that we're constantly being faced with perplexity and with, I would say, like drama or very extreme situations. I'm sure that everyone sitting here has their own story about what goes on in life. And the whole point of the Bhagavatam is actually teaching us how to respond to these situations. And how do we respond to these situations? Narayana, the Bhagavatam itself, Lord Shiva, he is explaining the quality of a devotee when Chitraketu, he was cursed by Parvati. He had not really done anything wrong. He just, more or less, kind of joke, appreciating Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva was preaching to the sadhus and he had Parvati on his lap. And he made a comment like, how wonderful this is, you know, that he's preaching detachment while he has his partner on his lap. And Parvati took this as an offense to Lord Shiva and she cursed him. And then Chitraketu accepted the curse. She took it. And then Lord Shiva, he said that, what is it? Narayana para sarve, nakutaschana bivyati, swarga pavargan narakeshu, apituliarta tarshina. He says that the devotee doesn't fear any condition of life. For him, you know, going to heaven, living in this world, or going to hell, doesn't make any difference. Tuliarta api darshanaha. It means that basically they all have the same value. So the devotee is not a concern with the external situation. It's all about his internal life. It's all about the relationship we have with Krishna. It's the simple principle. I remember this point when I was told that actually if we want to change our world, then we have to change our hearts. This spiritual life, and it's the only thing that works. Material life is the opposite. We try to adjust our environment. We rebel against it. We fight it. But the devotee, the consciousness of a devotee is that whatever is happening in his life, he actually sees that as Krishna's mercy, and he tries to understand how that is helping him in his progress in service. How does assist in my service? And therefore, he can be peaceful in any condition of life. He doesn't aspire for any material situation. He has understood, realized, that actually the only thing that brings happiness, the only thing that brings satisfaction, what I'm meant for actually, because even that, you know, the soul is by nature pleasure seeking, we are looking for pleasure. But the devotee is actually, is also, is our nature. to serve Krishna. And when we act according to our nature, we feel satisfied. So therefore, the devotee, having realized this, that he is not, he doesn't fear any condition of life. Nakutaschana bibhyate. No fear. We are the conditioned living entity in the material world is in constant fear. Why? Because we have so many material expectations, and also because to some extent we don't fully trust Krishna. Yeah, if you have full trust in Krishna, then why will you fear? That's the point, the meaning of Narayana Parayana. That the devotee has only one shelter. And who is that shelter? Is Krishna. And he fully trusts him. So is the whole message of the Bhagavatam and is to actually teach us how to trust Krishna. Because, you know, as I said, we will be placed in so many complex situations, so many complexities. And then what to do? What do we do when we are in a complex situation? We have various choices, right? But the choice that the Bhagavatam is recommending is that we trust Krishna. We follow his instructions. We try to please him. Even though that may bring some inconvenience in my life, even though some people may not appreciate, still, I will do my duty, which is to please Krishna. And if I do that, everything will be fine. Everything will, I will be protected. But again, it's a gradual process. To come to this platform takes time. And we're put through all these tribulations in order to learn this. How do we actually apply? Actually, even in the Bhagavatam itself is another verse. Muktanam apisidanam narayana para prayana. It says that out of many millions of liberated souls, only one actually becomes narayana parayana. Only one actually takes complete shelter, is fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord. And Madhavacharya explains there that he says that it's 90 million demigods and 70 million sages. And out of all those, only a few are Narayana Parayana. So it's a very lofty goal. But even the Bhagavad Path is what we are, what we aspire for, and what we what is available for us actually, if we follow the process given us by Srila Prabhupada, we can actually invoke Krishna's mercy and Krishna's protection by following the instructions of the spiritual master. When we embrace this, and this is also part of taking shelter of Krishna, Narayana Parayana. Prabhupada said, get up in the morning, 4 o'clock. He said many places in his books, everyone should get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Didn't say just brahmacharis or grihastha or sannyasis. No, he said everyone, get up, attend Mangalarti, chant your 16 rounds. If we follow these simple instructions in this life, we will gradually realize this point, that the only thing that is going to actually bring me happiness when I act for the pleasure of Krishna without any motivation. Savai pum samparo dharmo yato bhaktir adoksaye ahaituki apatihata yayatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation, the topmost dharma, is that by which all men can attain to loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Such devotional service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy the self. So this point of unmotivated is so difficult. And it's so difficult because we're conditioned, really. Because actually when we do it, it's the happiest thing. And I was just thinking that Prabhupada actually explains in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. There is very, very beautiful verses towards the end of the chapter. And he is describing there the consciousness of the devotee, actually. The devotee who has attained perfection. And he is saying that he is free from doubt, and he is acting for the... He finds his happiness within. Happiness comes from within. He's not looking for external happiness. It's beyond the dualities of illusion and misgivings. And finds his happiness within, and is acting for the welfare of other living entities. And it's a series of verses. So the one point being made there also is that those who are wise, they do not get engaged in sense gratification. Yeah? Because they know that sense gratification leads to misery. Eh? What is the Sanskrit? Adhyantavanta kunteya. That it says that such sense enjoyment or sense gratification, it leads to misery. So therefore, the wise man does not engage in those activities. We have heard that also many times, but we have to, really constantly remind ourselves, because Maya comes usually with the bait, right? And she comes and says, well, if you gratify your senses in this way or that way, you will enjoy, you will be happy, you need it. It tricks us to believe like that, but actually we understand through the eyes of Shastra that this is a trap by Maya. Sense gratification leads to misery. And on the other hand, devotional service leads to unlimited, unbounded happiness, beyond what we can even conceive. So, therefore, the devotee, we aspired for this. And whenever the opportunity for sense gratification comes, we have to remind ourselves that this is not going to bring happiness. Because I am not this body. I am not these senses. I am not this mind. I am the soul. And the soul can only be satisfied by coming in touch with Krishna. That is, as I said, when we connect with Krishna, there is nothing that brings higher happiness. So therefore, in order to actually give up this lower type of enjoyment, we have to get a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. We have to become intellectually convinced that material life leads to misery. And at the same time, we have to develop this higher taste, cultivate this higher taste in Krishna's in devotional service. And how do we get the higher taste? Generally, the way to get higher taste is by associating with senior Vaishnavas through surrender. Actually, the surrender part is what brings that higher taste. I was just thinking today that coming into that platform, trying to meditate of times in life where the material, external situation appeared to be very, not so satisfying, but actually I was happy. And we, those who are out in book distribution may have experienced this many times. That, I remember I was doing the marathon this Christmas, and there was one day it was raining all day. It was very, very horrible day. And people were very unfriendly and nasty, and it was one person after another. So for 1 hour, I stopped one person. Very nice man, but one person. Second hour, one person. 60 minutes, they look like an eternity, 12 years or more, when no one's stopping. But I remember and at one point I thought, actually I'm satisfied. What's the big problem, I'm liking doing this. And I continued, and for another hour, nothing was happening. So the higher taste came. And you, at that point, you get actually the realization that actually, you know, what I expect that is happiness, it is not. What was my expectation that day? You know, I've chanted my rounds very diligently, and I went out like as early as I could, carrying like a trolley full of books. And my expectation was that, yes, all the books will go out, and everybody will be very, you know, friendly. But they were not. And I still was satisfied by doing that. And of course, you know, some people in between came along, and somehow Krishna, you know, at the end of the day, kind of sent many people, and the books went out. But it's a simple point that happiness lies on pleasing Krishna. It doesn't lie on pleasing myself. We all have first-hand experience of this, and we join the movement because of this. We surrender at one point, and we got a higher taste. And that surrender is not like a one-time event. We have to keep practicing that art of surrender, right? Blissful surrender. And then the taste will come. We actually will come to realize, like here, we have the example of Chitraketu. What was coming? He was, you know, cursed to become a demon. And he didn't complain. What other stories there in the Bhagavatam? Jat Bharat. Jat Bharat is there and is being like abused by all his family members. We will be traumatized. Just if one family member is nasty to us, we become so disturbed. Never mind your whole family. Then later on he was, you know, abused by the dacoits. He was put by his family members on the middle of the field. To just like, what do you call that? I forgot. To scare the birds. I forgot. Scarecrow. And he's there. And he's so much in touch with reality. He doesn't do anything about it. You see, the difference between a conditioned soul and a liberated soul. And then when the dacoits, you know, call him, they're going to like sacrifice him there in front of Bhadrakali. And he is not doing anything. He's just accepting Narayana Parayana. Fully trusting Krishna. Fully trusting Krishna. No trying to adjust him. That's very, very extreme example. That full trust. And why? Because of internally he's so realized. He understands that nothing can take place without Krishna's sanction. He is actually the supreme controller. I am his surrender service. Whatever is happening is his arrangement. I am satisfied. That's the reality. And the illusion is I am the controller and the enjoyer. Why the world is not functioning according to my desires. You know, material life, we have this false expectation that the world should move according to my needs and my desires. And when it doesn't, we become very disturbed. And we become very frustrated. But actually, this is meant to happen. And it's meant to teach us the lesson that actually we are meant. The whole world is not meant for our pleasure. It's meant to please. We are meant to please Krishna, to ask for Krishna's pleasure. So he didn't respond there. And then later on, when Rahugana was chastising him, right, then he decided to give mercy to Rahugana, to preach to him, acting for his welfare. He responded to him. So, therefore, Prabhupada is making the point that for a devotee, it doesn't matter whether one has a material body or whatever condition of life he has, his only concern is with the service of the Lord. And he's quoting famous, like a famous story, that it says, it is said, sadhu jibo va marova. It's for the devotee. There was one time one sadhu came to one village, and in the village people were approaching the sadhu for benedictions. And there was a prince, there was a butcher, there was a brahmachari, and there was a devotee. And you know, the sadhu was giving blessings to each one of them. And when the prince came, he said, "You better don't die." So why? Because to the princess said, you better don't die. Then to the brahmachari, you die immediately. To the butcher, nor die, nor live. And to the devotee, also nor die, nor live. You may die or you may live. Sorry. So then the villagers were asking for an explanation. And they said that the prince, he said, well, actually the prince, he's enjoying so much now. But when he dies, he will have to suffer so much karma. So better live forever. And the brahmachari, he's performing so much austerity, so much tapasya. No one giving any credit. He has to obey everybody's instructions. So if he dies in his next life, he will get so much credit. And then he says, for the butcher, he said, either live or die. Both conditions, hellish. Living as a butcher, horrible. If you die, so much karma coming. And he says to the devotee, either you die or you live, it doesn't matter. Both are good. Both are good. One time Prabhupada was asked by Achyutananda Swami at the time, he said, what is more important, to spread Krishna consciousness or to go back home, back to Godhead? What is more important? Spread Krishna consciousness and go back home, back to Godhead. What do you think? Spread Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada's response was, those who are preaching are already back home, back to Godhead. So the goal, again, going back home, back to Godhead, we're aspiring for a consciousness here. What determines where we are is our consciousness. Prabhupada exemplified this through his life. And those who have the opportunity to associate directly with Prabhupada felt in his presence a different atmosphere. Sometimes we experience this when we come in front of the deity. Sometimes we experience that when we come to Prabhupada's room. I remember the first time I came to Bhaktivedanta Manor, I went into Prabhupada's room. And I entered there and my mind stopped, literally. It was like completely peaceful. But really drastic. It was like, I was shocked, actually. And I remember I went out of the room to check, what's the difference, and then it changed. And I came back in, and it was so peaceful. And I had that point, I remember, I thought, this is what I want to be. I want to be at that Prabhupada's lotus feet. No safer place in the three worlds. Chanti. Bhaktaraya getapasam sarvaloka maheswaram suridam sarvabhutanam yatvamam shanti rikshati. Krishna concludes this fifth chapter where he's describing this amazing consciousness of an elevated soul. And he says that, what is the formula for peace? Bhaktaram yagya tapasham. He says that one actually understands that the ultimate beneficiary for all activities, even if you are into doing karma kanda activities, the ultimate beneficiary is Krishna. If you are into performing tapasya, who is the beneficiary also? Tapasya is meant for the Supreme Lord. And if you are a yogi meditating on the Super Soul, sitting within the heart, acting as a friend to all living entities, who is actually the supreme friend to all? It's Krishna. So when one understands this and acts according to this platform, as I said, trusting Krishna. Like Prabhupada was asked one time, how can I trust my superior? He's not chanting his rounds. And Prabhupada said, trust no one. Trust Krishna. But did he actually meant that we should trust no one? Should we trust no one? That's not real. The meaning. The meaning is that we should trust Krishna. That even though the people who are dealing with us may be dishonest or whatever may be, still behind everything, the supreme controller, the supreme sanctioner of everything is Krishna. And therefore, when we understand this, we can be peaceful in any condition of life. And as I said, peace is not just the goal, but actually we can attain like unlimited happiness by reconnecting with Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I'll read the last sentence because this will be the theme of what we are discussing. It doesn't matter whether we accept a material body or a spiritual body. Our only ambition should be, what should be our only ambition? Thank you. Nothing else. And whatever problems we have to cope with today, just my only duty is to, my only ambition is to, let Krishna be pleased by my actions. And again, I was just thinking, telling you about the story in Sankirtan, that, you know, this is our life. I'm just telling my thing with book distribution, but we experience this in devotional service, that a typical day in Sankirtan is that you go out and then you go through a whole turmoil where people are stopping or not stopping, and gradually you come to the point to understand, actually, I can do nothing. I can do nothing. It's totally beyond my control. All I can do is try to please Krishna. But I cannot manipulate, I cannot convince people to take books. It's just Krishna turns the switch, it happens. If he doesn't, it doesn't happen. And when you come to that platform and you just actually do it in that mood, that I'm totally dependent on Krishna, it becomes the most satisfying experience. And that applies to any service we're performing, to the degree that we're trying to control and adjust and make arrangements for my own situation and what I'm getting out of it. And I am, you know, the priority and the enjoyer of the results. So much anxiety, so much tension. Drop all that and act for Krishna's pleasure, put our ambitions and desires aside, then real happiness within. And this is the practice of Krishna consciousness. Come to that platform that is not for me, it's for Krishna. Therefore, the devotee doesn't fear any condition of life. Why? Because it's not for me, it's for Krishna. So whatever condition of life, I can still serve. Fear comes because we have a desire to enjoy, we have a desire to control. We want to become fearless, we want to become free from the dualities of the material world, then we have to give up this propensity to enjoy the material world. Thank you very much. So we have a couple of few minutes for questions, if anyone, or comments. Maybe the senior Vaishnavas would like to add something or some correction to what I said. Okay. No questions? All, you all accept it? Okay. Yeah. Good. Thank you. That's a nice conclusion. Srila Prabhupada ki. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yanitai Gaura Premanande.